Hello, GrowthBuzz. This is Arun Kumar, your host. We have a very interesting guest, Mr. Suresh. Mr. Suresh, I know Suresh for many, many years. He's from Dallas, Texas, and he did his first exit very successfully. And he has a lot to share with us about growth, how to start a product, how to find the time when you can grow. So we have a lot more to ask. Suresh, thanks for joining us in GrowthBuzz.
Thank you, Arun, for having me on your show.
Awesome. Awesome, Suresh. So, Suresh, you got a first startup and you sold.
Actually, that was my fourth.
Oh, fourth startup. Look at that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, the recent startup you sold, you know, let's talk about, you know, your startup journey on the fourth venture you recently exited. You know, can you talk about how you identified the problem and when you decide that it's time to grow?
The last venture that I exited was named Chargeback Gurus, and the goal of the business is to help enterprise businesses solve their chargeback fraud pain point. So we introduced a service and a product where we can identify fraudulent transaction, or if it is a legitimate transaction and consumers file a dispute with their credit card company for bogus reasons, then we work with the businesses to help them get their money back. And the way we identified this problem was we ourselves were a merchant, and we were offering customer service support services for our clients, and one of our clients filed a dispute. And when we were actually, you know, trying to identify how do we fight this, because they paid through credit card and their company folded and they filed bankruptcy, but they filed a dispute stating that, you know, we shouldn't have billed. So when we were researching, trying to find how to solve it, there was very few documentation. There was no clear documentation. We have to go through the pain point, and finally, we won the dispute because we had to provide a lot of documentation.
Got it. So how did you know that this problem exists? You found that during your previous surveys or a product development? How did you know that this problem exists?
Great question. So there are two things that entrepreneurs normally go through. We all want to validate our ideas, right? And there are people looking at your excitement, they will validate you. But that doesn't mean that actually it's a viable business. Because no matter how many people I talked to, not even a single person said it's a bad idea. They all said, oh my God, it's awesome. Because I know that they are actually piggybacking on my excitement. But the place where I know my business idea is a viable idea is when somebody is wanting to be a part of my proof of concept.
Good.
Okay. And that's when I know my idea is viable and they are willing to pay for it, or they are happy about my proof of concept.
Good. Good. Preferably willing to pay for it is a very good validation.
Preferably willing, but also you will know whether you are creating an ROI. So the model that we initially introduced was, if I'm recovering $10 for you, you pay me $2 or $3 in return on what I recover. So there is a performance-based service offered, which is a win-win for both parties. So people are willing to go for it. So now I know that actually the client's interest is aligned with mine. That is the best business you can ever think of. If your interest is aligned with their interest, people will be more open to trying you out.
Got it. Awesome, Suresh. I think very well said. Very well said. So once you identified the real opportunity, and once you know that there is a real a need in the market, you know, when do you think we need to start thinking about the growth and what strategy or the move a startup founder should do to think about growth?
Well, there are two ways of actually thinking about growth. Nowadays, I see that actually previously, the growth means that you're profitable. That's the ultimate KPI that we were looking at for to be successful. But now, growth means they don't care about EBITDA, they don't care about P&L, but they care about the number of customers you add every year and the revenue you bring in. So it all depends on how do you define your growth. For me, because I was bootstrapping, for me, actually, the P&L matters. For me, I would like to maintain a 30% EBITDA all the time or even higher. And because I have to keep that in mind, I was very careful about meticulously scaling. I didn't take any money from any third party or from PE firms. All my ventures have been bootstrapped from scratch. So for me to actually grow from $100,000, you know, in annual revenue to a $25 million recurring revenue, it took me 7 years.
Wow.
It took me seven years. 7 years it took, but not the valuation, but the recurring revenue I'm talking about.
Understood. ARR.
Yeah. ARR. And I was actually very meticulous about who you hire, because that's going to actually define your success. Great companies are run by great people.
Correct.
If you do not have passionate people, then it's going to be challenging for you to grow the business, because at the end of the day, I only have 10 to 12 hours. That's all I can maximize. But the rest, I'm going to actually leverage my team to help me support the growth. So I was very meticulous about hiring slowly and firing fast. Mm-hmm. Those were the two rules I always maintain when it comes to people management.
Awesome. Slow and fast.
Yes.
You know, take time to find who you are bringing to the table and fire.
Yes.
You know, I think that is a great slide, Suresh. You know, I always, you know, I've been told and I've been telling that, you know, in a scaling, you have a different scaling, $0 to $1 million, $1 million to 10 million, and 10 million and above. So it's all the different phases and it requires different leadership. So since we're talking about growth, you know, did you add a situation where you have to change the management team who thinks bigger who helped you to start in the initial stage?
Absolutely. You initially start off with manager roles because they're less expensive. Then you migrate to the director roles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you migrate to the C-level roles, which is where actually the growth of the company naturally progresses. First, you start off with the entrepreneurs. They are everything in the company. Then you have a little bit of actually money coming in. Then you move into hiring managers for different departments. Mm-hmm. And then you migrate to the directors who can manage the managers. Then you have the strategists who are the C-level people who come in who can support the growth. And also we have the funding to actually support their salary. So that's the gradual progress I was having. And we were having actually a time gap of about like 1.5 to 2 years to grow from actually the owner-run business to managers, to the directors, and then to the C-level people. And that completed our, you know, 7 years of growth. And by the time actually me and my partner exited, we had all the C-level executives lined up. And the company was ready and operating on its own without the founders.
I see. Okay, so I also understand that when someone wants to acquire a majority stakeholders or want to buy your company, they want to know that it operates with total dependency on the founders. If it depends on the founders, the valuation goes down. If it is not, the valuation goes higher. So that is my experience on M&A. So you echo the same, Suresh. That's great. So since you are into fintech, can you talk about the future of fintech a little bit before we start talking about your next venture?
Absolutely. So the future is going to be a hybrid approach of humans and AI. That's the way productivity is going to be the key performance for us, because companies right now, they burn way too much cash on resources. The biggest expense for a company is payroll. If I can actually maximize my productivity with the help of AI, then you have a win-win. A lot of people get scared of AI and they talk about actually, oh my God, is it going to take the business? And AI cannot perform on its own. And AI needs a subject matter expert to guide in the right direction. If you need 20 people actually to do the work, the AI can do it with one, you know, with just one AI, you can do it. But the AI needs the subject matter expert to tell exactly what problem to solve and how to solve, and it can actually do it. So productivity is going to be the key indicators for not only for fintech, but for other industries too.
Awesome. Awesome, Suresh. This remembers the last podcast I had. I spoke with one guest from Los Angeles last week. Mm-hmm. And what he said is, you know, more and more AI comes in, we are going to depend on humanization.
Yeah.
Correct? Because God gifted you with something, you find out you better be expert in it. Because that is what AI cannot give, humanization that God gifted. Mm-hmm. So AI cannot do it. So what you said is right. You need an orchestrator to orchestrate the AI performance. So future is all about AI orchestrator. You know, people call it as a prompt engineer, but I think that is AI orchestration is the future. So, absolutely, you know, absolutely. I think that is a very good feedback, Suresh. So I know that the person who started a company, who exited four times, five times, cannot be quiet. So what is your next journey?
So the next venture that I started just in August, actually this month, is Data Mantis. And the slogan that we created for the company is "Your Data, Our Expertise." And that summarizes, you know, what we are going to be doing for them. So the reason why we started Data Mantis is there are a lot of small businesses, SMBs, who do not actually exist over the long run. It's because actually they don't know how to manage finance. They don't know how to actually acquire new customers. They don't know how to run the day-to-day businesses, but they are great at their craft. You know, a baker is great at his craft in baking breads, but he's not good at acquiring customers. He's not good at looking at his finances. So what we are actually doing is with Data Mantis, we are creating a platform that will integrate with their native platforms like QuickBooks, HubSpot, you name it. And this will be your companion where you can ask questions and it can answer intelligently without you needing to have a CFO, a marketing person, or even actually a salesperson. It can automate your mundane task. It can actually provide you financial analysis, cash flow statements. You wanted to know who are your best paying customers. You wanted to know what was your performance when compared to last month. Traditionally, you go to a CFO. But now with our platform, you don't need a CFO. It can perform every function a CFO can do for a small and mid-sized businesses. So we wanted to empower the small and mid-sized businesses with a platform that can truly revolutionize. Because people don't know how to use AI. And they don't know how, you know, what can what AI means or how it can revolutionize. Because if I'm a small business, I'm actually busy running my restaurant. I do not have time to do any of those. But if somebody can summarize me and be a mentor and tell me what is it going wrong, what is it going right, that can mean a lot to me. And that's what Data Mantis aims to provide for SMBs. Right. And also we aim to provide customized solutions for enterprises because I've been reached out by a lot of enterprises asking, I have data, but I don't know how to actually, what to do with AI. I don't know how to measure AI. The challenging part with AI right now is if you decide to do something with AI, it's very expensive. Head of data science, data engineering team will cost you at least $1 million before even you could know if there is ROI. They can actually come to Data Mantis. We will do a POC. We have solutions engineers who can really tell you if we can solve your problem through AI, because not everything needs AI. You know, there are some businesses who can just do what they do right now and they're good. They don't need an AI solution. So we wanted to come and guide them. And if we see a real value, then we'll be happy to develop it for them and leverage the power of AI. If not, we are going to recommend them to stick to what they do. So I think people need an advocate who can truly actually give them an honest answer about AI. And I feel that's a larger market that we can tap into. And that's why we started Data Mantis.
Awesome, Suresh. You know that, you know, in CapDigiSoft, you know, we provide a lot of AI solution, AI consulting. And we were the very, initially we offered this solution to many, many companies. The companies come and talk to us just to understand what we provide in AI. And when we demonstrate to them, they were speechless, they were scared to some extent, and they were very curious to know what else it can do. But they were struggled to make a decision. They were struggled to make a decision. We did proof of concept for many, many companies, but they're unable to pull the trigger without knowing the, you know, they all afraid about what damages it could cost, what their customer thinks that if you use, you know, this AI to make this informed decision. But now it's very clear that people accepted AI and people believe that, okay, it's kind of calculator. You know, I was told that when they introduced calculator, the mathematician teachers came and protested in the road, you cannot use calculator. It's going to blind the people thinking on calculation.
But absolutely.
It's not. Yeah. And likewise, the AI is going to be like this. AI is a new calculator of in this era. So
we say, you know, we are seeking for logical decisions by emotional decision makers.
Correct. Oh, yeah. That's right.
The emotional decision makers are driving the logical decision, which is an irony, but that is a fact and the truth.
Got it. You cannot say you cannot say better than what you said. That is very well said, Suresh. You know, so we at CapDigiSoft, we do marketing support, go to product support. We also do a proof of concept for any design. We do a UI UX design. We do a wireframe before they start to develop a product. We help a lot of product companies to design the complete UI in Figma and show to the customers, guide them how they need to get the feedback. If they ask us to develop a product, we will not do that. We say, do you have a confirmed user feedback that this is what they want? So we help at least 5 to 10 startup founders every month in giving a shape to their ideas, and they love it. And 80% of the founders deserve not to proceed with their idea because that is not what their market wants.
Absolutely.
Nothing else.
And so, it is emotional too, right? Because you have to let go of the fact that your idea is not market favorable and you got to think about something else because they have invested so much into it and leaving that emotional component.
Exactly. Many founders were mad at us saying that, hey, you can't do this. I know this will work. I said, great. Give the data before you invest 50,000, before you invest 100,000. Whether you use us for development or that is something different. But we want to make sure that your hard-earned money is invested wisely. And once they see the excitement from the users, they get all energy. They put all the resources to development. We are happy to help them to develop. And we also help them to go to market. So people are excited. We help a lot of startup founders to give a shape to their ideas, help them to go to market, and so on and so forth. So I could very much resonate what you said, Therese. And, I want to sincerely appreciate your time you've taken to join a Growth Buzz podcast and share your experience, Therese. And, before we close this podcast, I want you to share the top three things what you would share to a startup, product startup founder. Top three lessons or top three areas they need to be aware of?
When you're thinking of an idea, as I said, everybody will validate it, but is it a business viable, product or a service is the key here. And if you can have two or three customers who can be a part of your case study or a POC, and if they are happy with it, then I would say that's a very clear validation that the market is accepting what you're willing to offer. So I always believe in crawl, walk, run approach. That is the crawling approach. If you can actually find, sponsors for your idea, then great. That's the first thing I always look for. And the second thing is actually I think about what is the goal you wanted to achieve? Do you want it to grow immensely and you don't care about EBITDA, or do you care about EBITDA? Clearly define what is your goal and plan your company accordingly, because sometimes business operators or owners, they get lost in that. That is going to set. And also the third thing is have a very clear vision, core values, and mission statement, because you wanted to make sure you have the right people in the right seat if you wanted to grow fast. If you are making too many mistakes, then your growth is, slowed down. So those three things are the most valuable thing I've learned throughout my 21 years of entrepreneurial journey about how to make the best decisions that can help me grow my company faster.
Awesome, Suresh. I think I want people, those who listen to this podcast, to say this. The reason I'm saying is, as a startup founders, you will not understand what Suresh said. I'm telling you. The one day you will face the challenge. One day you will struggle. Why users are not using it? Why I am unable to scale? Why I am unable to focus on one industry? Listen to this podcast and you will know the meaning of the 3 points what Suresh said. So Suresh, thank you so much. And we are wishing you good luck for Datamantics. And I'm sure we'll be in touch. We will collaborate. And wishing you all great success, Suresh, on behalf of Growth Buzz.
Thank you, Arun, and I wish you all the success on your Growth Buzz. I know it's going to be fantastic. Anything that you have done so far, I have seen the passion that you have put in, and I wish you the very best on all the three ventures that you're running right now, because I see everything as a venture by itself. So good luck with all the three ventures you're juggling.
Thank you, sir. Good luck. Thank you so much. Bye.